Hi, you're listening to Valiant Voices Podcast, and I am your host, Annette Johnson, the Fly Coach. My guests are life lifters, success sowers, and positivity pushers, and we have conversations on topics that are intended to inspire listeners to live life by design. So grab your favorite drink, a pad and pen, and I hope you enjoy the next episode. My first guest, Wanda Edwards. Wanda is the founder of Not Just October, which is a stage play and what we refer to today as a movement. And so I want to welcome to Valiant Voices, Wanda Edwards. Wanda, are you there?
I'm here. Hello, Annette.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for being my guest today and helping me to launch Valiant Voices. I can't think of a more perfect person than you to start this journey. You're doing such amazing work educating and raising awareness to help save the lives of women and children. And I'm happy to be able to have this conversation with you. So why don't we start by you sharing a little bit about who you are and the projects that you're working on.
Sure. So first of all, I want to say congratulations to you for launching your podcast. I'm very excited for you. I think that you are going to touch lives as well. So I'm just here for all of it. So congratulations. It's going to be awesome. So hello, everyone. My name is Wanda Edwards. I am a survivor of domestic violence. I am a certified domestic violence advocate. And I guess it's been maybe about 11 or 12 years now. I've just been on this journey of promoting awareness and just educating. My journey continues to teach me that education is key. The more we know, the better we're able to do.
Yeah, I agree. And one of the reasons I love the work that you do is because you have such a big education and awareness component built into it. So we met when you put out the casting call for Not Just October, the stage play that you created. And, you know, it's funny because at that time I was in a space where, you know, I'm trying to push myself out of my own comfort zone and do some things differently. And really, I was really struggling to be comfortable with sharing my story of witnessing domestic violence with the relationship between my mom and her boyfriend at the time when I was a very, very young child. Mm-hmm. And so we met when I was, you know, beginning that work on that journey through my relationship with Sophia, Start Out Fresh Intervention Advocates. And, you know, so I answer this call, we had our conversations, and I show up at the table read. And, you know, I literally was sitting there thinking to myself, okay, what am I doing? Have I completely lost my mind? I'm like sitting at a table read preparing for a stage play, of which I've never participated in a stage play before. And my family will tell you, as a young child, like, you couldn't threaten me to be in a school play or to get on stage. Like, it just was not happening. I'll take the F, but I'm not doing it. So be careful what you ask for, because that definitely pushed me out of my comfort zone. And although I do public speaking for a living, it's very different than doing a stage play. So was that your first time? Have you done this before? Because you seem very, very comfortable and experienced with it.
So there is a God. Because the only way for me to really describe writing that play is divine intervention. I am not a playwright. I've never written a play before, and I really just was spirit led. And the truth is that the cast members, the 12 phenomenal women, including yourself, that made up the cast of Not Just October, you guys wrote the play. Because it was all based on true stories and actual survivors. So the play was written together. We really wrote the play together. I'm so proud of it, and I'm just so proud of everyone. But to answer your question, no, that was really the first time that I've ever done anything like that. And But I have to say that I'm proud of it. I'm very proud of that project and where it continues to lead us all.
And, you know, I have to tell you, it was very therapeutic and it was very liberating to go through that experience. You know, the rehearsals and preparing for the stage play, because each time we had a rehearsal, I shared my story again and I got more and more and more comfortable sharing it. And so that was just, it was life-changing for me, and it really helped me to find my voice. Share, like, what was behind that? Like, what made you or motivated you to do a stage play?
So, you know, like I said, it's been probably about 10 or 12 years that I would say I've been on this intentional journey. Although initially I never really set out to be an advocate. It took me years to even realize that I was even a domestic violence survivor. So I've done speaking. I joined Sophia as well, you know, doing the safe dating workshops and, you know, doing the support group. And what I found is that most of the time, people do not want to talk about domestic violence. They really rather not talk about it.
Right.
However, they will listen. If you're talking, or if they're watching something, they'll pay attention, but they don't want to necessarily have to participate. So part of the inspiration for the play was, you know, to just, again, provide another avenue for people to be informed about it, but not necessarily have to engage if they don't want to, but still be able to get the information out there to them.
Now, you organized the play around these three components: listen, believe, and support.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, absolutely. You know, again, it's a very difficult thing to talk about, but it's an even more difficult thing to be around and to witness, especially with loved ones, family members, coworkers, you know, having to watch a loved one go through something like this. They don't understand it. And a lot of times their responses are not the correct ones, or they potentially can cause more harm. So what I try to advocate for and promote is, when it comes to victims of domestic violence and even survivors, because they're still triggers. You know, you just mentioned that years later, we still carry certain feelings and thoughts around it. So not just victims, but victims and survivors. But a lot of times, we have to listen to them differently. And what I mean by that is, if they are willing to talk, a lot of times that's all we really need to do is listen. We don't have to ask a lot of questions. We don't have to give them suggestions. We really just have to listen. And then we have to believe them. And a lot of times, believing doesn't necessarily mean, you know, that what they're saying is the absolute truth, or it sounds like the absolute truth.
Right.
But we have to believe that this is true for them, and we have to take it seriously. And then we have to take the, you know, take whatever steps that are going to lead to supporting them and whatever that is. And sometimes the support that they need is not the support we want to give, but it's not about us. So if we listen differently, believe with no judgment, and support with love, we have a much better impact and a much better opportunity of potentially getting someone out of a situation.
Yeah, I just thought that was such an important point to make and to organize the play around, because there is so much judgment. And, yes, you know, thinking back to my situation as a child, one of the things that I had to come to terms with was, you know, I had to own some of the thoughts and feelings that I had towards my mom about the situation that she was in. So one, I wasn't abused, but I witnessed it as a child from the ages of, I don't know, maybe 6 to 9. And she was in a very, very abusive relationship. But as an adult, carrying that with me and being silent about it for so many years, I had a lot of judgment and resentment towards her. So when I began this journey about making peace with my past, that was one of the things that I had to really come face to face with, because being educated through my relationships with Sophia and working with you with Not Just October and therapy sessions that I had, I realized that I had a lot of judgment. You know, I was, well, why didn't she just leave? Why didn't she just get up and leave and pack our things? And why didn't we just go to grandmother's house? Why didn't we just leave? And I realize now, being in the space that I'm in now, that it's just not that easy. And that exit phase, statistics show, is one of the most vulnerable and critical times for a woman when she decides, I'm leaving.
Right.
And it needs to be orchestrated very carefully, because a lot of times it's during that period of time that the woman and possibly the children could be harmed or even murdered.
Yes. Yes.
So one of the things you talk about is safety planning in the play. Can you share, you know, your perspective on safety planning and provide some tips for someone who might be listening, who's right at that point where she's thinking about, okay, I'm gonna leave. I'm gonna find the courage and I'm gonna leave.
So safety planning, I think, is really the first step in a victim taking back control. Because first of all, the safety plans are, they're individually designed. So they're customized, meaning that they take into consideration where you live, the layout of your home or apartment or wherever it is that you're living, your neighborhood, where you go to church, where you work. It takes into consideration your immediate surroundings, and it helps you to put together a plan to try to remain safe until you're actually able to leave. So, for example, victims know their abusers. So if you're home and you know that he's been triggered, he or she has been triggered, and you think that there's about to be an episode, you want to just be mindful of, so let's not go in the kitchen. Let's not go, you know, you want to go someplace in the home where there's no weapons, for example. So you would want to stay clear of the kitchen. It even goes so far as to say, because sometimes we stop the attack. And I think that that's part of the whole conversation about being realistic and listening and believing, because sometimes we have to deal with the situation the way that it is. So, for example, safety planning talks about how to physically protect yourself.
Yeah.
So putting your hands up, going in a corner, having a safe word. So if you're out with friends and family and you think something is about to happen, there's a code word that you can use. So and you can go anyone. You can go online. You can go to the National Domestic Violence website, as well as calling them, which their number is 800-799-7233, and they have templates on their website for safety planning. And like I said, the reason why I feel that it's really that first step to taking the control back is because what I found is that as victims go through this process of answering these questions, that whole realization of why they're doing this really starts to come to light. And when they start to realize, wait a minute, I'm going through all of this because I'm in harm's way, it kind of starts that, you know, that process of, okay, this is not right. Something is wrong with this picture if I have to take the time to fill out a form to stay safe in my own home. Mm-hmm. So I just think it's a crucial piece to those beginning steps.
Yeah. And one of the things that I've learned too is education and awareness is so important. I have learned so much working with Sophia and working with you. And so I think for those listening, even if you can't understand why women wind up in this situation, or you can't understand why they leave, I think it's important to be educated and aware of the effects domestic violence has on women and their children, and to be aware of the resources that are in place. So when you share the National Domestic Hotline, that can be used by people who might be witnessing this behavior, connected to someone who they believe is in an abusive relationship, and they don't know what to do.
You can call
that toll-free number and say just that, and say, you know, my sister, my cousin, my friend, my neighbor, I believe is in harm's way, is in an abusive relationship, and I don't know what to do. And they will coach you and guide you on the appropriate steps to take, and provide you with additional information and resources. So I think education and awareness for all is very important.
Absolutely. It really is, because You know, as much as we talk and we want to stop things, the reality is that until a person is ready to leave a situation, just like until a person is ready to do anything that they don't want to do, you know what I mean? Until we're ready, we're not going to be able to do it. But, you know, like you just said, I think we really continue to see that the more we know, the better we're able to handle these situations as they arise.
And I'd like for you to speak to this comment, you know, the woman who says, well, he never hit me. Mm-hmm. He never physically abused me. But yet she's in a relationship that she doesn't feel comfortable in, that she feels, this is feeling a little aggressive, or this is feeling a little threatening.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say to her?
So there's, you know, there's different types of abuse, and usually it's the emotional and the verbal abuse that really starts before we see any types of physical abuse. It's usually that mental and emotional where, you know, there's a lot of guilt, there's a lot of blaming, there's a lot of put downs. It's that verbal. It can just be starting to isolate you from, you know, from your friends and family. So it doesn't have to be physical. Anything that you feel is causing you harm, if it's causing you mental harm, because if someone is being mentally or verbally abused, they're still going to have those same types of effects. They're still going to have low self-esteem. They're still going to feel like there's no way out and nobody else could possibly love them. I mean, there's just so many different reactions to being abused and to being treated badly that, I mean, that's a great question, because a lot of people will focus on the fact that I'm not being hit, but they still are not happy, or they still feel that they're in harm's way. So anything that makes you feel uncomfortable, that makes you feel like, you know, anything that even remotely feels like fear, is something that we should be looking into. And, you know, we always say that the first warning sign is our gut. That's your intuition, that still small voice, that's the first warning sign. Because your intuition will kick in and you know when something's not right.
Absolutely. You know, I'm just in shock with the stories that are coming out on a daily basis, multiple times a day through various media platforms about situations where, you know, women are being abused and attacked and murdered. It just leaves me speechless. But the one thing I know is, pushing through my own discomfort with my story and what I witnessed as a child, and finding the strength, I guess, and the courage to address the thoughts and the feelings that I had, helped me to realize just how important this work is.
Right.
It's so important to continue raising awareness and educating people and providing, using our voices to provide resources and tools and information that can help women escape these relationships and do it in a way that's safe and that will give them their life back.
Yes.
So I thank you so much for the work that you're doing with Not Just October, a brilliant idea, making that a stage play. It was a great experience for me personally, and I call myself fortunate to be connected to the NJO tribe, my October castmates. And I'm looking forward to many, many, many more great things that are going to come from you. So share your social media information, so people can follow you and get information on your plays and any other events that you'll be hosting.
So on Instagram, I am Uniquely Wanda at Uniquely Wanda. And on Facebook, I am Wanda.Edwards. I just found out that there's a dot there, and that's why people weren't able to find me. So Wanda.Edwards on Facebook. I'm currently working on a website, but right now you can reach me via either my Instagram at Uniquely Wanda or on Facebook at Wanda.Edwards.
Wanda, thank you so much for being a valiant voice, and I look forward to many, many, many more great things coming from you.
Thank you, Annette.
Thank you. Bye. I hope you heard something from today's episode that will change your life forever. As you think about how you can live your life more intentionally, here are a few things for you to ponder. What can you do that you've never done before? So how do you move out of your comfort zone? What can you do better or more of? How do you leverage what you're good at? And what can you stop doing that doesn't serve you well or that holds you back? That's your call to action work. Until the next episode, be a valiant voice. Someone needs to hear from you. So share your story.